It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will. But then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
I've been doing the math and realized this will drop on February 13th. So this is technically our Valentine's spooktacular.
I guess.
We didn't plan anything.
No.
Officially, that's the role.
Yeah. I guess this is going to be the last one. We'll be recording on, will we be recording on Valentine's, like you and I, on Friday on Valentine's Day?
Yeah, I guess we will.
Yeah, I guess we didn't think about that.
Well, I don't know. Do you make Valentine's plans particularly?
I mean, not like during, I mean, no, like my wife's working, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, not during the day.
Mine will be, well, and we just don't because we do stuff the day after. So.
Yeah, so no. No, it's not a big deal.
Man, this is very romantic, though. Next week will be very romantic.
I just look forward
to that. But in the meantime, this is not what I wanted the opening to be about.
Oh.
Deep space discounts. Say it back to me.
Deep space discounts?
Perfect. Deep space discounts.
Okay. What is that?
It is a YouTube web series that I want everybody to go watch.
Oh. Okay.
There are 5 proper episodes. They all last between 4 and 7 minutes or so. You may not know him, but you've watched videos of his. There is an animator called Deep Blue Ink, all one word, and he does a lot of what the internet calls animatics, which is taking a clip of something and making an animated version, but with the sound, with the audio from the original. Right. And it's very commonly people will take like a podcast and they'll do a chunk and they'll animate a thing where the people are talking and it's fun and whatever. And I watched a lot of these with the McElroy brothers, and Deep Blue Ink did a lot with the McElroy brothers. And he has since gone on to do a lot with a lot of Dropout things. So he started popping up a lot for me.
Did he do the one for the sword? What was that?
Not the specific one that we watch.
Okay.
He did what is my go-to for Streetcar Named These Nuts. I watch that video periodically. He has some really good ones in there. A lot of good Munch Squads and stuff. But anyway. So he has made an actual sci-fi animated series.
Mm.
And it's like full-on voice actors and original music and all sorts of stuff. And at least one voice actor I know from other things, he's currently a regular on Dropout, but he's in a bunch of stuff. But just a bunch of others who sound familiar, the name, so they might be professional voice actors. I don't know. It is a comedic thing about a young woman named Imogen who ends up in the Deep Space Discounts Incarceration Alternative Program, which appears to be a thing where instead of going to galactic prison, you go work for essentially a Walmart. It's this sci-fi superstore thing, and so all the employees are prisoners and they live there and serve out their time. And it's just comedy about that. So it's sort of a workplace comedy mixed with a weird sci-fi comedy. And but there is the underlying mystery, because Imogen is the first human to not only to ever be incarcerated on an intergalactic level, but the first human to know intergalactic society exists.
Oh.
And it's a very big thing that she hasn't spoken about why she's there. And there's even implication that she may not entirely know how or why she's there. And so there is like sort of like a mystery, but it doesn't pay off or anything. It's just goofy. And I just recommend it. But this is, I do recommend it. I think it's very good. It's not very long. Anybody can watch it on YouTube. But it's more that I want this guy to be able to make more things like this.
Oh.
So this is not me just making a recommendation. I'm not saying, oh, this is an amazing thing, you have to watch it. No, it's pretty good. But also, you all should watch it so that it gets more views and things, and tell other people so that then he can make more of these. Because it's pretty good, but the whole vibe is definitely something I want more of. So.
Right. Cool.
But it's fun. You like the jokes and stuff. It's good. It's all funny.
Okay.
It's a good time. Like, yeah, I don't want to undersell it either. It's quite a good little series. But
cool.
So Deep Space Discounts. I feel like the SEO on that has to be really good. So go to YouTube and try and find that. Artist name is Deep Blue Ink, if that's helpful for anybody. But Deep Space Discounts. I feel like that's a hard one to miss. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world doing commercials for things that we're not sponsored by, because we're not sponsored by anything. But our platform affords us a certain level of privilege that occasionally we feel we must wield with gravitas and responsibility. And given the number of listeners we have, I think that's about the right level of responsibility for me. To potentially only influence threes of listeners. I think that we should not give me more power than that. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 726.
And if those of you notice, we didn't mention how much power this gives William. He has no power, and we all prefer it that way, so it's fine.
I even prefer it that way.
And you know, we wouldn't have it, you preferring it any other way.
Right.
Like, good. We'd have to mess around a little bit, make a new William, see if we could affix that problem. But apparently we did from the last William. So, wait, sorry. Never mind. You guys know what I mean, but don't. Yeah.
I already forgot what you said.
As it should be. It's good. With no power comes no responsibility. How's your week been?
It's been all right. So as I heard
you had an egg.
An egg? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is some behind the pancakes.
Behind the pancakes stuff. Because we just met up today.
Yeah. So, yes, we had breakfast this morning, which will be almost a week ago when people hear this. But I haven't, like, had, I mean, I've had eggs in things, cakes or whatever. But, like, I haven't had an egg, like, ordered an egg at a restaurant or prepared an egg here at home for, it's been a couple of years, I guess.
And? Did you see yourself?
No.
I haven't seen you in a couple hours.
No. No, what happened the last time I had eggs was I threw up. Like, I was at Hy-Vee with my dad and, you know, his wife. They were in town for something, and they said, oh, let's go over to Hy-Vee for, I want to say it was lunchtime, but I decided to have breakfast. And I was just, you know, eating. I don't remember if they were scrambled. I don't remember what kind of eggs they were, honestly. But I immediately got sick and had to, like, practically run to the Hy-Vee bathrooms. And thank God one was open, because they're not usually.
I see. Okay. So have you thrown up then?
Mm-mm.
No. All right, good. I mean, it's less interesting of a story, but.
No, everything's good. It tasted good. It was like that 2 or 3 years or however long it's been didn't even happen.
And once again, you ate half your pancakes, and I don't understand, and didn't take the rest home.
Well, you
and
know
I
what?
Don't understand that.
Here's the thing. So there's three.
Basically, this is what I'm gonna talk to my therapist about next week.
There's three pancakes.
Experience.
If there were two pancakes, I'd still probably only have eaten half of it. Maybe if there was one, I'd eat like 2/3 of it. But for some reason, pancakes, I just can't eat.
And you don't take them with you?
No. No, I don't.
Because I know for some people it can get soggy or whatever, but you could separate them beforehand. Dry ones.
I could.
Ones to
I,
take
could.
Home.
I could do that. Because it's yes, there is a pattern. It's always going to happen. I'm not going to eat half of them. But I don't know.
And every time, at least 3 times, I think today was about 5, which is pretty normal, I think about just reaching over and taking them. I'm like, what's he going to do? I know he's not taking it with him.
You know, that's a good point because, so I got the Build-A-Breakfast thing and I got sausage links so I could give them to you. Why shouldn't I just put a couple pancakes on there? And you could
have
had...
the way they had it, you didn't have that option, which is dumb. But
oh yeah. Well, no, wait, because yeah. I said I bring the sausages on a separate plate, so the sausages run a fairly large plate.
Oh, so okay.
I could technically
I thought you meant instead of sausages get more pancakes, and I'm like,
No. When they brought the sausages, take the I could have given you 2 pancakes easily. That's what we should have done. I should have thought of that.
No, absolutely we should not have. My blood sugar was already insane. I shouldn't have eaten which is what stops me. It's not, believe me, it is not social mores or concern
stealing my
that
pancakes.
my friend might get a look of disgust on his face. All of these are incentives to do it. It's mostly just like I've already picked my breakfast, which is guaranteed to be more food than I needed.
Yeah.
I shouldn't also eat those. But I think about it constantly. And just do about 5 times. They look real, just pancakes. They look real good.
No, yeah, they were tasty. But the thing is, as I've often said, I could have started with the pancakes. I would have eaten half of them and been completely tired of them and not wanted a single. Another pancake and still eating my eggs and the tater tots that I got because pancakes will fill me up almost to the point where I'm feeling sick, but I can eat something else. I just can't eat any more pancake. I don't know what that's about. I have no idea why.
No, but it makes sense because other people supposedly have this thing with their children. This is one of those, I don't have children, so I'm an expert thing. Is children are too full for any more meal, but are not too full for dessert.
Right.
I mean, I hate this. This is one of the things that makes me hate humanity as a species. Like, I'm even willing to grant the, like, children find that they are satisfied but they still want dessert and that can be a thing. Mm-hmm. So it's genuinely like if these are your only options, and I get that and that we're okay with that, but the sheer just denial of reality that we all buy into, like it's not just that we're accepting that these kids are saying I'm too full for food but not for dessert. It's not just that we're accepting the lie, but we started at such an early age. We are raising generations of kids who think that's a thing. We are raising generations of kids who think you can be. I hear it. I hear grown-ups. I hear parents say, haven't you ever been like that? No, it's not. I've eaten things. I've eaten dessert when I was full, and that was not a good idea. Mm-hmm. I have not eaten as much to save room for dessert.
Mm-hmm.
I have finished a meal and decided I was full enough. I might not have dessert. I have not finished a meal to being full and then flipped a switch on my side that turned to the auxiliary stomach. It's not a thing, people. Eat however you want, but let's all stop lying to ourselves.
Yeah, I think there's only one other thing besides pancakes that do that to me. But I can't remember what the other thing is, because the other thing is not a thing I eat very often. It's like it probably is some kind of a dessert. But like waffles or French toast, I don't have that problem. Just pancakes. I get to a place
I was super shocked today. You thought about getting pie.
Mm-hmm.
And Perkins specifically have pie-inspired donuts right now.
Mm-hmm.
So and let me rephrase. We went to Perkins today, and the universe told you, William, come have these pie donuts.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was surprised that you ignored the universe.
Well, because...
We even talked about it, but you ignored the universe.
I know. Well, and notice I didn't get anything. I didn't get either of those things. Because...
No, this is what I'm saying. Do you not believe in God anymore? I know we've had this conversation, but today seemed like the actions of a person who does not believe in God.
Okay, so here's the thing about me and donuts. You know, I love donuts.
Not God, just donuts.
Donuts are a close second.
Same difference.
Donuts are a close second.
Ah.
I have found that I'm not a fan of when people do unorthodox things with donuts.
Yeah, okay. No.
This is like going to Hertz Donuts, and they have all these donuts that are weighed down with stuff.
Yes, like, and we've talked about this.
Yeah,
I like Hertz Donuts things fine, but I'm like, but they're not a donut.
Mm-hmm.
They're a dessert construction.
Yeah, well, and when
of
we were
which
talking,
one of the ingredients is a donut.
When we were talking about pie, I was talking about another place in town where I get pie that's like all flavorless. It's just sugar. And I was disappointed with that. And what I wanted was a pie like I used to get at, say, Perkins or Baker Square, wherever, where you could actually taste the fruit in it, cherries or apples or whatever it is. Well, these donuts weren't going to be that, because the donut was probably going to be super sweet and probably completely overcome the pie filling they put in the middle of it or something. So that wasn't going to scratch that itch at all. And anyway, I'm not into that kind of donut anyway. So
I think for once ever, that is a satisfactory explanation for your bizarre behaviors. That all makes sense to me. I'm confused a little bit in that I'm not confused, but I mean, no further questions. I'm impressed.
Good. Yeah. I also did this week see Nosferatu, as I intimated.
Oh, yes, you did. And mm-hmm. and you haven't talked much about it, but the look on your face when you said it, not as so much.
Yeah, so my it was really well made. I mean, I would recommend to anyone who's interested in seeing good film craft, for sure. And I wouldn't probably, like, if I knew someone else who was a fan of the original Nosferatu film or was a fan of Bram Stoker's Dracula or whatever, you know, and that's something that we shared in common, I don't think I would necessarily recommend it to a person like that, even though I would encourage them to see it because maybe they would like it. I mean, I have no idea. I don't know why it didn't resonate with me, except I will say that the filmmaker, what's his name? Eggers, or is that his name? What's his name? The guy that made the director. Well, you know, he did that Lighthouse thing with Willem Dafoe in it, and
Oh,
and the witch, you know.
Oh, this is the Vavitch guy.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure. And
I didn't know that.
And I can't say that
I didn't care for the Vavitch.
Yeah, I can't say any of those films that I
but
liked.
But the Vavitch was very good.
Oh, gosh, yes. Again, it's as a piece of film craft, I think it's worth seeing. And so is everything this guy makes, because he's very, very good at making films. But do the actual and the performances are almost always good. But do the stories resonate with me? Or, you know, I feel like I have a good idea of what emotional mood and everything he's trying to go for, and it doesn't work on me. Cooler though works on a lot of people, and so good for him. And if people like it, that's great. But it didn't do it for me. So yeah, I think a lot of people. I've had a lot of people actually ask me about it because they know, you know, my tastes and interests and stuff. They're, oh, I want to hear what you have to say about it. And so I was like, oh my gosh, what if I don't like it? They're going to just be disappointed. But I don't think it was a bad film by any means. Again, if you like well-crafted films, by all means, go see it. There's just lots of good stuff in it. And maybe it'll resonate with you. And that's kind of how horror is, right? I mean, it's you know, not everything's going to work on everybody. It's a pretty personal thing. And
we both kind of bounced off Long Legs.
Yeah.
And I think that has more to do with us than that movie, but I don't know what it is. The older I get, the more I'm just fine with not for me.
Yeah, which that's just
not
how.
To say good or bad, not for me.
So this I found this interesting though. So Bill Skarsgård plays the Count, you know.
Because he plays all the creepy parts.
And one thing I thought was really cool, I told Abby this as soon as I noticed it. As soon as they showed the Count, I said, oh, that's the way the Count looks in the book. And I've never seen them portray the Count that way, as the way that Bram Stoker described him. I've never seen it. I mean, for one thing, there's a mustache. I mean, when you read Bram Stoker's Dracula, the description sounds a lot like those paintings you've seen of Vlad the Impaler, you know, like a lot of people have seen that picture. He's got a mustache down to here. It's pretty clear that Bram Stoker was basing his description of Count Dracula on Vlad, because it sounds just like a description of those paintings. But I don't think anyone's ever had Dracula or in Nosferatu, it's Bram Stoker's Dracula. That's what it is. Nobody's ever had Dracula with the mustache, I think, until like the Hammer movies had one of their Draculas had a mustache. But it wasn't one of those big mustaches. It was like, so I thought, oh, so they based this on the book, or at least I assume they did. And then later I read some things that, yes, they did base his look on that. But the strange thing is, Bill Skarsgård was wearing so much prosthetics that you could not tell that he was playing this character at all. I mean, you can kind of, if you know who Bill Skarsgård is, you can tell it's Bill Skarsgård in It, right? You can tell in other things.
Oh, yeah.
But like, they changed his entire face. And I saw an interview with him and he said, yeah, they said my facial features didn't fit the character or whatever. So they just put this whole, and I'm thinking, why didn't you just
cast? They just hired him because he can do that shit with his eyes.
Why didn't you cast an actor who looked like what you wanted? That doesn't make any sense.
Skarsgård is a hot property right now.
Well, but like, you know,
look at the huge success that the Crow reboot has garnered.
Yeah, well, I just thought it was strange that they put so much, I mean, his whole face basically is covered. And so there's no way you could tell it was him. And again, I know that happens, but it's not like they covered his face and it was a monstrous face. It was a very human looking face. Like,
he stuck a different face on his face.
Yeah. I mean, lots of actors have prosthetics, but they look like a Gill man or whatever else. No, this just looked like a guy, just not Bill Skarsgård. It was so weird.
I hear he's good at playing guys who aren't him.
It was so weird, but I mean, he did a good job. Everybody did a good job. It just wasn't my cup of tea. So I'm sorry to disappoint anyone who thought I might think it was great. But
I gotta admit, my feelings about this movie were riding a lot on what you were gonna think. So
are you being facetious?
Yeah.
So when do you think you'll see it?
When it's cheap enough. Is it down to $6 now?
No.
Yeah, then not right now.
We felt pretty confident about it, so we haven't paid up a lot of money for
it. I just looked up we will. We're not in a hurry, so we'll just wait. Gladiator 2, which Trish wants to see, is down to $6 to rent. And last year's apparently quite tragic once again attempt to reboot Hellboy is now available for $6. Hellboy: colon, the Crooked Man. And apparently it's pretty bad, which is a shame. But
that is a shame. Check it out.
Apparently they turned a little more horror, a little less action, and I'm like, I'm there for that. But
yeah, I'd be there for that too. That sounds like a good idea, but it didn't. The execution wasn't very good, huh?
Apparently, I still haven't seen it yet, but that'll probably be up there on our list. But we watched a couple of movies I need to talk about quickly because I want to get some emails in here.
Okay.
I've seen a few movies. Most of them don't matter. But I want to talk about two. One, because we were looking for movies that sound like they might be fun if you've had some weed gummies, but wouldn't be fun otherwise. And we settled on The Great Wall because I could not think of a better thing that fell into that specific camp.
Who's in that?
Ah, exactly.
Yeah. Because I'm remembering.
But that's the thing. Like, it showed up and it was technically in theaters.
Yeah.
It is known for being a bomb because it lost $75 million, although I've looked at the numbers for its budget and its return, and it feels like it made a profit, but it's considered a huge bomb. It is a story of the Great Wall of China, but what if the Great Wall of China was actually meant to keep back scary CGI monsters? And also, what if Matt Damon showed up and saved the day?
Matt Damon. Oh, no. Yes. Yes. Oh, my gosh. I remember when that came around and I thought, this is awful.
Everybody was like, this feels radioactive. Let's not. And sure enough, it was like a huge, like, the controversies were bigger than the film ever was because everybody's like, this is super racist. And then the director, who's Chinese, is like, what are you talking about? This is the most Chinese people that have ever been on camera. And all then we're like, yeah, but it's still Matt Damon. And people are like, well, it's not racist necessarily, but it's definitely a white savior movie. I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'm just like, he's a white dude. He's definitely the main character. He is instrumental in the saving. Good or bad, definitely. But eventually I was just like, but they put the production values into it. It's probably amusingly bad.
Yeah.
And so we watched it. And it's not that bad. Mm. Like, it is an entertaining time.
Mm.
It will not change your life one iota, and I don't think it's worth spending time in your brain trying to figure out how it is or is not racist, because it's there's no easy answers here. It's not that, but it's a fun time in that it's the production values are great and we got big fight scenes and everything, but there's real hilarious bits, like, because here's what it is. It's a fantasy movie. And if they had just made a fantasy movie, it would be fine. But we had to put real life things like China and the West. Like, if you had just made it a fictional world with, like, fictional nations or whatever, fine. But it's a fantasy movie that feels the need to mention specific things. So, like, the Chinese army is huge and vast, and their outfits are very Power Rangers like different units are a different color and they have really elaborate, like, armor and shit. Matt Damon is doing the best accent ever. I think he thinks it's Irish. It's kind of Northern Irish, but again, because this is a fictional thing set in a certain time frame, this is way before such a thing as Northern Ireland existed. So I'm not sure what that's about. What they don't tell you, and what they should have told you, is his right-hand man, best friend guy here, Pedro Pascal. And they have amazing chemistry, because Pedro Pascal has amazing chemistry with all human beings and most inanimate objects. Also, Willem Dafoe's in this. Small part, underutilized, but he's there. The female lead, who is a Chinese actor who I am not familiar with, does a great job. They avoid some major pitfalls in this kind of story that annoy me, and they didn't do it. It's nice. But it's nothing to it. It's dumb. It's super dumb. But it's fun. And it's and also, it's the kind of movie you're like, oh, shit, is this like 3 hours or what? Under two. It's like 147 or something. So it's fine. Check it out. But this was a double feature. And this is the one we have to talk about. This is the new thing in my life. I wouldn't tell you the details, but I did hint at it behind the pancakes. We watched Hudson Hawk.
Right. I'm still trying to figure out if I've seen it. I feel like I have.
But... Hudson, for those of you younger than me, which I've learned there are many, Hudson Hawk is a movie from the 90s. It starred Bruce Willis. It starred Bruce Willis when he was still a comedy guy and not an action movie guy. It still starred the Bruce Willis from Moonlighting, not the Bruce Willis from Die Hard. It was a critical and commercial failure and then just became a joke of trivia. People would be like, could be worse, could be Hudson Hawk. I believe it had something to do with he was a thief or something, but he was a good guy. Most of the images in the front have him in like a leather jacket and a pork pie hat looking like an idiot. This is what I knew. And I never saw it. And nobody was ever real specific. Just like, no, it was a turkey. It was bad. And he doesn't like to talk about it. Nobody likes to talk about it. It's a bad movie. It was a bad idea. And I don't know. Like, you would think I would seek that kind of thing out. For some reason, I never have. Because again, nobody could ever tell me. Nobody has ever said, never. Nobody ever said, it's a fun, bad movie. They're just like, remember when he was dumb enough to do that? Did you see that? No, nobody saw it. Okay, it's bad, I hear. The end. But then, the other day, we're talking with the neighbors, and it comes up that one of them, her husband told on her, and was like, she really likes Hudson Hawk. And we were all like, what? And she was like, yeah, I think it's funny. And honestly, I haven't seen it in ages. Maybe I'm misremembering it. But I remember it as being amusing. And so then that put a bug in Trish's brain. And she's like, I've been thinking about seeing Hudson Hawk. And I was like, I'll see Hudson Hawk, a famously bad movie. I'm still confused why I haven't seen it already. Of course I will. And then we watched it, and my life was changed forever.
Now, I want to say, this was at a time in his life where I think he was trying to launch a music career at the same time. Some of the songs that was kind of tied into the movie. Like, he wrote some of the songs and stuff.
Oh, yeah, it was. It so was. But you're getting ahead of me. You're
oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. Here. I just remember all this. So.
It's not good. It's a very bad movie, but it's an amazing movie. And I'm not saying that it is as bad or in any way really similar to this other movie I will reference. But when I finished watching it, I had a feeling inside of me, and it's a feeling that I've only ever experienced one other time, and that was when watching The Room. It's just such a perfect storm of careful decision making and poor decision make, like carefully made poor decisions. Like, okay, so I want to try and explain what kind of movie this is, because I clearly did not know going into it. Because it started with a sort of fantastical Renaissance era section about how Leonardo da Vinci made something that could turn lead into gold. He was trying to turn lead into bronze, but he accidentally turned lead into gold. And there's a specific tools that he did for it, and they were lost to time, and it's a legend. And apparently this is what this movie's going to be about. And then it's about Bruce Willis a cat burglar getting out of jail, and then various people attached to his old life try and pressure him to do one last job. Eventually, a love interest shows up, and it's Andie MacDowell, except she's secretly undercover from the Vatican and she's a nun, but we don't know that. We have these romance things happening, and those get in the way. All right, so also his best friend in the world slash brother from another mother slash partner in crime is Danny Aiello, and apparently Bruce Willis's shtick is he knows exactly to the second how long a bunch of famous songs are. And so during their heists, they sing the songs, I guess, so that they, because they know how much time has gone by and they'll know when the police are going to arrive. I guess in practice, Danny Aiello and Bruce Willis just do three or four musical numbers in this movie while they're trying to rob things. It's tonally all over the place. It is. I kept wanting to compare it to like a Zucker Brothers movie, except it's not, it doesn't have that quality, but it's like somebody would like to be that. But it mostly is like a kid's action adventure comedy Disney Channel kind of movie, except it's a hard R. There's no sex or nudity in it, but there is a lot of violence and a lot of swearing. It is, and there didn't need to be. You could have made this movie without it, but it's like a kid's movie or something. And yeah, we are at peak Bruno. We are giving strong Bartles and James wine cooler commercial
That's just what I
energy.
was gonna say.
Look it up if you, that, yeah, like the dude in that commercial is the
Seagram's.
dude in this
It
movie.
was
See, oh, was it
Seagram's.
Seagram's?
Seagram's
Sorry, I thought it
Boulevard.
was Bartles and James. It was the wine cooler
It's
wars.
wet
There
and
was a
it's
lot
dry.
going
That was
there.
what he
Yeah.
used to say.
And it
I don't even
was
know what that
had this
means.
whole one where he like sung during it, and it's, and also just very peak. It's the smuggest of the Bruce Willis's. Like every instant he's
That's
on
saying
screen,
something.
you know that he has no question he is doing the best performance ever.
Yeah, that's saying something too.
And but it's also like sometimes it's almost a serious movie, almost. But other times it's a wacky, like breaking the laws of reality wacky. Like again, like a Zucker Brothers, where like something happens that you're just like, that could not happen. It's just the joke is that it could not happen. There's a whole action scene where he's on a gurney out the back of a ambulance held on by like a sheet and riding around. It's bonkers. It also has a way crazier cast than I realized. I knew about Bruce Willis, didn't know about Danny Aiello, definitely didn't know about Andie MacDowell, although if it's a 90s movie where people are lying to somebody they're attracted to, it's gonna be Andie MacDowell. She was the romantic punching bag of every movie in the 90s. Groundhog Day and Multiplicity to name a few. Oh, and that stupid one where John Travolta was an angel also got talked about. Anyway, she's in
Phenomenon.
it. Yeah. Do 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 do. But also the main villains are Sandra Bernhard and Richard E. Grant as flamboyant billionaire siblings who like give off the vibe that maybe they're more than siblings. You know that creepy standard thing. But them just chewing the fuck out of the scenery. And it's just, it's not a movie that makes sense to make. It's not the decision, the various categories that were put together to make this very specific movie. It makes no sense why anyone would ever do that. On top of that, they do it so badly. Like, It's a bad movie. Like, but I mean, like the general production value and like the vibe overall and like the music and everything is giving very 90s Zemeckis. Like, it's very sort of friendly until people start dropping F-bombs and killing each other. And
So
oops.
I have a theory about these kinds of films. I'll offer it when you're done talking about it.
I don't know what else. Like, it's a movie that should not have been made and should not have been made as poorly as it is on top of that. And it's just such this beauty. It's a lightning in a bottle in a bad way. I'm like, so many pieces had to fall together just right to make this insanity. How did that happen? I'm fascinated. This is the anthropologist in me. I'm like, how were humans capable of making this and like being okay with that? And so I recommend it if you, like me, are fascinated by earnest, deliberate, abject failures. And I really am. Give us your theory.
My theory is these types of films are made often. So the key is who's the star and where are they in their current, career. What these films kind of are unintentional sizzle reels. So a sizzle reel is when a person makes puts together like samples of their past work, right? And what sometimes happens when a person's in a place in their career like Bruce Willis was is, well, after this film, I want to make comedies, but I also want to make action movies, but I also want to make this kind of movie, and I also want to make this. So whatever this movie is, I want it to be a jumping off point to all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So let this movie showcase my comedy chops, my action chops, my serious scene chops, right? And so they try to fit all of that into one movie, which of course doesn't work. And it's just this
Well,
gar hot garbage.
and the idea, meanwhile, the studio is making it is like, sure, you're Bruce Willis. People are going to come see it.
Exactly.
We'll do whatever you want.
But so what I'm saying is there's another motive, besides just writing a good script or whatever. It's like this is going to launch his career. We'll launch it in which direction? Well, we want it to launch in five directions. Can we make this movie five different things? Oh, it's got to be a heist movie. He's got to sing in it. So we want to launch his music career. And they just dump all that crap in it, stitch it together. And then of course it fails because it's a terrible movie and it doesn't launch him into any of those
Yeah,
things.
but it is also a genre of the time in the sense that these very broad, wacky caper comedies were a very late 80s, early 90s thing. And I mean, sometimes they work real well. Home Alone is essentially this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it just it they got lightning in a bottle in the opposite way and honestly like thought about, I mean, and Back to the Future is some of it is like, let's just do some crazy shit and hijinks ensue. And in a very sort of broad comedic kind of way was very big in the 80s and 90s. And this fits for the era. Like, if you showed me this movie, I could be really good at telling you when it happened.
No, sure.
But
But
again, why?
it didn't. I re The more you talk about it, the more I remember seeing it. It didn't really pick a lane. And for things to be popular in American culture, music too is the same. You can bend the rules a little bit. Sometimes you can pick two lanes, but you
Yeah.
can't have three, four, five. You just can't. It's the
Well, it's
audience, you're
just
gonna lose them.
especially with comedy, I need to know what level you're dealing with. And
Yeah,
that's the
right.
thing. This movie has very sort of light comedy, sometimes even pushing a little into drama. And then it has a thing where Undercover Nun Andie MacDowell has been talking to Bruce Willis and it got a little hot under the collar and he lives and she's looking a little guilty and flustered. And suddenly a crucifix on the wall starts blinking light and a voice says, "My child, you must report to the basement." And you're like, is God talking to her? And it turns out, no, it's the cardinal that she's working for, and they've established this elaborate setup where he can hear and talk to her via the various crucifixes in the Vatican. And it comes up two or three more times, and it's a solid joke. I liked it. It was a good joke. But it was in a completely different reality than, like, the scene before
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's right. What it is. I'm like, I need to know what kind of, like, and you and I both have this. There's certain things that I'm like, okay, this is a type of movie that I should not focus on continuity about.
Right.
But
right.
You need to tell me that because otherwise I'm gonna.
That's right.
I watch Airplane and I don't get annoyed at how it, wait, wasn't he just in the other scene? Because that is not what that movie is.
Correct. Correct.
But you have to tell me that up front. And this one I kept trying to be like, but wait, and then finally I was like, well, but that joke tells me they don't give a shit, so do I give a shit?
Yeah.
But it's amazing. Highly recommend if you're me. If you're not me, it's probably not worth your time, but some of you are me. So
like, you know, I like Bruce Willis and many of the things he was in. I wonder why. And I remember when he was trying to do the singing thing, he did the Seagram's commercials and all that. It's like, yeah, he's got a pretty good voice and whatever. Blues, that's cool. But like his albums never hit. It's like, I never really understood his career, why it never, why it hit in specific places like Die Hard and whatever. But otherwise, no. I mean, what was the limit of his appeal? Like, was there a certain kind of thing that the American public would be okay with him doing and there were other things they wouldn't, or what? I don't understand. Well, what did you think of him? Were you a fan of his when you were younger, or?
I didn't see a lot of his stuff when I was younger. I've still never seen Moonlighting. I didn't see Die Hard until way later. I mean, he was just a famous white dude. Like,
yeah, but there's lots of famous white dudes who were a lot more successful than him for reasons I can't fathom. Like,
well, except Bruce Willis was insanely successful. Bruce Willis bought most of a town in Idaho.
Oh, no, like, I guess I didn't realize
Bruce
that.
Bruce Willis, one of three co-founders for Planet Hollywood. Like, Bruce Willis is very successful.
Yeah, but he's no Tom Cruise though. And I could never figure out why Tom Cruise is.
No one is.
Yeah, and why? What's so great about Tom Cruise? I just don't understand, I guess.
It seems like Tom Cruise might actually be a good actor. And this is the thing. There are other amazing ones, but you're like, oh, they're good actors. Like Liam Neeson is an amazing actor.
Mm-hmm.
Starting 10 or 15 years ago, he decided to just be a Bruce Willis. And he doesn't do anything that I give a shit about anymore.
Yeah.
But he's done other things that I'm like, this guy is an amazing actor.
True.
Bruce Willis is fine and handsome and was funny.
Yeah, you're right.
But his is just weird because he is one of those that sort of came out of comedy into action and supposedly took a concerted effort and a lot of time to convince and a lot of people to bow out to convince them to let him be the lead in Die Hard. Because they're like, he's the funny man. We don't want him for this. And that sort of changed his whole deal. But no, he's been hugely successful. He just, like most rich people, can't do anything he wants. From what I gather, he was an okay singer in an art form that is not universally that popular and also looked at as something that is not so much the purview of white folk. So, I mean,
yeah.
Do you know how many famous leading man celebrities have musical careers that you don't know about because they're even less successful? Russell Crowe, Jeremy Renner, Keanu Reeves, all of these guys have actual bands, or did in some cases, and music videos and albums, and supposedly none of them are terrible, but also none of them are, there's a reason you haven't heard of them.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Hmm. When you reach a certain level of success, you're like, can I do anything? If you have enough fame and influence and money, you can find out.
Well, yeah, I think Michael Jordan tried to play baseball and that didn't work out.
Yep. Although I have recently seen a thing on that. He did way better as a baseball player than people give him credit for. He just didn't do Michael Jordan playing basketball.
Level. Well, that's what I mean.
Like, he sucked at it. But I recently saw a thing that they were like, here are the actual stats and here are your average. And like, he was fine.
Yeah, he didn't suck.
He wasn't amazing, but he was fine.
He wasn't the level that he was as a basketball player.
We don't have time to get into that because we need to do some emails. Give us an email.
Okay. I just find that all very interesting. Okay. Anonymous question says.
Anonymous question. We've been getting some of these. All right.
What rom-coms do you recommend? That's easy. None of them.
Next question.
You too?
No, I have one. And I can't remember what it is now.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm going to put The Big Sick out there. The Big Sick technically qualifies as a rom-com, and it is marvelous.
Yeah, that is good, I guess.
In general, I famously hate rom-coms.
I do too.
Like, on its face, the concept of them I hate.
Likewise.
I do like that rom-com is short for trauma accomplices, because it's just people being horrible to each other and then eventually getting together. Because so many of them are that.
I mean, I like some films that aren't rom-coms that have rom-com elements that I just ignore mostly.
Well, and I don't throw out all romances either.
Sure, and there are rom-coms that have a strong science fiction or other kind of element that I'm interested in. Sometimes I can tolerate that, but I'm not probably going to like it or recommend it. So. I just can't really recommend any, honestly.
There was something within like the last couple years that I was like, it's a rom-com and it's actually really good. This is rough. I have rom-coms that I used to like that I don't anymore.
Oh, yeah, I don't even have that. What would those be?
I used to like Knocked Up. Don't like that anymore. I used to like Love Actually. I was raised in a household that loves Love Actually.
Oh.
And now I'm like, that movie is fucked up. and that's what it comes down to. All rom-coms are essentially horrifying at their heart. What did I see recently that I thought was a good rom-com? I don't know. I hate them. Full stop. Sometimes you can have a movie that has romance in it and has comedy in it and does it right. And I like that. Mm-hmm. But most things that fall into the category of a romantic comedy tend to be unbelievable, unromantic, unfunny, and mostly just terrible, like horrible people that then get a happy ever after that is unearned and makes no sense, and I hate them.
Well, and sometimes really problematic when it comes to what messages are you sending about
various
things. And I mean I think I'm consistently on record for the last 14 years that I don't like romance in anything. I mean, I don't, sometimes I can tolerate it, sometimes, you know, my wife will tell you, oh, he's going to go up and get something to drink now, because I just can't. I'm like a 6-year-old, I roll my eyes. I go, oh, this is gross. And I go somewhere else. I don't like it. I don't like romance in anything. So a rom-com is like a nightmare for me. Like, again, unless it
Must be
has some
so great
strong.
being married to you.
She also has to explain other types of relationship things to me. Like if someone does something and the other person gets mad, I often have to say, what just happened? Why are they mad? And she has to
Oh,
explain it to
yeah.
me. She has to explain what
Yeah,
that person did or
she's
didn't
not
do.
the only one.
But many times.
I have fully been teaching you what emotions are for the last 15 years, Pinocchio.
But many times the explanation is stupid, and she'll agree with me. She'll say, "Yeah, that's really dumb. They
Yeah,
shouldn't have gotten
absolutely.
mad at that." But I didn't even know why the person was mad in the first place. We have paused so many movies with, and usually with has to do with romance. Paused so many movies just to explain to me what is happening, and I never get it. So I can't even give you examples because I never remember because it just all seems ridiculous. But
There is a movie, I don't remember the name of it, so this is going to be fun. What I can tell you is it stars Daniel Radcliffe and Zoe Kazan. And it is a rom-com, and it comes highly recommended by a variety of people in different walks of my life. And I consider Daniel Radcliffe one of the best actors working today, so I'm happy about that. And Zoe Kazan, I didn't know until The Big Sick, and she was marvelous in that. So I keep thinking about seeing it. But it's a rom-com, and when you look at the trailer, the premise is the two main characters have the spark, and they decide they're going to be friends, and everyone around them tells them that men and women can't be friends.
okay.
And I'm pretty sure
Haven't they already
the
done that one?
movie's not gonna end with them just being friends. So I'm already mad at this movie.
That point was made in Harry Met when Harry Met Sally too. That was in there.
Oh.
I'll have what he's having.
You'll note I'm not laughing, and you think it's because I don't find it funny. No, I think that's the best thing you've ever said. I think that's the like I'm not laughing because I'm in shock. I think that's the best joke. I think that's the best words that have ever come out of your mouth. It's all downhill from here. Like
What I'm laughing at
that's a
is not my
per
joke.
that's
I'm
a
laughing.
perfect joke. You made a perfect joke.
And what I'm laughing at is not the joke. I'm laughing at the look on your face after I said
I mean,
That look
and
was
some
great.
offense intended, I didn't think you had it in you. Like, damn. I'm gonna have to reevaluate.
Oh,
That was meh.
that was
That's
worth that
brilliant.
look. The look on your face was so worth
That was great. That was a great joke. It was a
it.
solid, marvelous joke. I'm so proud of you. I'm gonna have to raise the bar on
Oh,
how I
man. That
deal with
was
you,
good.
which is probably gonna go poorly for you.
Oh,
That is podcast over. We're never gonna beat that. That's it.
what were you gonna say?
I think When Harry Met Sally was the one I was thinking of.
Oh, that you used to like or that you still like?
No, that I only recently saw,
Oh.
and I think it's a really good movie
Yeah.
that also happens to be a rom-com, and it's one of those where I was like, I know it, I know all the scenes, I know the important lines, whatever, but then somebody was like, you haven't seen that, you sure see that, and so we watched it. Trish maybe was the one who said it, and I was like, shit, that's a rom-com ass rom-com. But it's really good, and it's like believable, and like I'm invested, and
Well, I mean,
I was just really impressed and didn't expect to be.
I mean, romantic comedies go back to the early, some of the earliest,
Oh, yeah.
films, talkie,
And
especially
it's just, it's
smoking
two
guns.
elements of storytelling.
Yeah.
Every movie has multiple aspects in it. And so then you have to decide, is this part of the genre? There's almost no horror movie that doesn't have jokes in it.
Yeah.
But it, there has to be a certain point at which it's a horror comedy rather than just a horror.
But to me, when someone says rom-com, you're not talking about My Girl Friday. I mean, you are, but you're also not. Like, modern rom-coms are kind of different. And I'm not sure what the first one was that sort of set that kind of new tone. You know, I think of Harry Met Sally as really kind of almost being taking them in a different direction. I want to say You've Got Mail maybe did a little, or I don't
I
know.
mean, in general, Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks have a lot to answer for.
Yeah.
You've Got Mail, Sleepless in Seattle. I think there's a third one in there.
Yeah, I think there was I don't I'm no expert on it, but I think those they did something a little bit different that kind of set things in a different direction. I
Yeah.
don't know. I can't put my finger on it. But I mean, yeah. I don't know.
And just like we joke about this. Okay. Here's another one, despite the fact that it's kind of a rom-com. Practical Magic. I'm not sure it qualifies. It's a rom-com horror. It's got a lot of things going on. But it does have a fairly unrealistic romance through line that I still enjoy it. It's a good one for that. But then there's things like and Trish loves to talk about this because Trish owned a lot of VHSs of these various rom-coms back in the day, and she didn't have cable, and so she would just watch these movies, and they were like comfort food for her. And then I would watch some of them, and or I wouldn't. So things like the classic one we talk about is While You Were Sleeping. While You Were Sleeping was a very successful rom-com in which Sandra Bullock has a crush on this guy, and she sees him every day on the commute to work or something. And then he is in an accident, and she happens to see it, and she freaks out, and she goes to see him at the hospital where he's in a coma. And due to hijinks, the family shows up, and she pretends to be his fiance, even though they've never met,
Oh,
and he's in a
yeah.
coma. And then
Yeah.
meanwhile, she's accidentally falling in love with the brother. And I hate this. Like, this is the most fucked up dystopian sociopath that, like, she's a villain. Romance cannot spring from this. I firmly believe no true romance can spring from this situation. And yet, that's what we buy. And at the end, we're like, oh.
Yeah, you know, that makes me think of the, it makes me think of the Majestic. Now, was that a film? Was that, it was a drama, I guess. Wasn't a comedy, was it?
Yeah, it was a passion project of Jim Carrey, I think. I didn't ever see it.
Well, a filmmaker, a writer, Jim Carrey, is playing that. He's in an accident, forgets who he is, and when he ends up in this town, and they're certain that he's this guy's long lost son who they thought was dead. And he doesn't remember anything, but he starts to think he does over time until he eventually remembers his real life. And you know, he's very honest about, oh no, I'm actually not this person. But it's an interesting story. Yeah, it's a drama, but there's a love, there's a romance in it, you
And
know.
I think
So
you can have romances and things, and you know, every action movie has one at the end, and I never buy it. But I'm at the point now where I'm just like, no. Ryan George helped me with that. He's like, so why are they? Well, they're both attractive and they're the leads, so they're in love now.
yeah, they met yesterday. Why are they doing this? Because they're the leads and they're attractive.
And they're attractive people.
Yeah.
So it happens. All right, we got an email done. Only one though, but it's a start. You please write in. We've been getting some, and I really want to do more of these. I'm trying to pare back. Luckily, my life's not that interesting these days, so. But I want to get to more of these emails and anything to stop William talking, except for that one joke. I'm gonna savor that. That was a good joke. All right. So write in themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com with your own things for us to talk about. Also, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com, and give your thoughts on what we've had to say here, because we've definitely said some wrong things. So tell us about it.
Yep, definitely.
All
Please
right.
tell us. Please tell
So
us.
now, in the meantime, this is your side quest.
Oh yeah, the side quest.
Yes. All right. Pick out your best pair of socks and wear them today. And the quote here is, "Confidence is faith in oneself. It can't easily be given by another." And that's from Deanna Troi.
From
That
Star
feels
Trek.
like a late season episode.
Star
Probably
Trek.
some of that weird shit where she and Worf were trying to raise Worf's kid. You know, played by Brian Bonsall, who played the baby in, well, not the baby. In Family Ties, they had a baby, and then, like, the next season, he was like six. You know,
Oh.
TV shows did that all the time back in the day.
Yeah.
There'd be a baby for a season, and then it would be a kid. Well, the kid was Brian Bonsall on Family Ties, and he was also Worf's kid on.
Next generation.
Yeah, it's that's the shit my brain keeps. That's the shit that it leaves in there.
Very good.
All right. So yeah, keep listening. We'll keep doing it. You know the drill. And we hope you have a very spooky Valentine's. I don't know how that works. Whatever you're into is fine with me. How do I stop all of this?
I don't know.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.